So I think we need to begin to consistently, there's enough people who know this is true, including homeless people, point out where the money goes. Mm-hmm. You know, a social worker and a couple of administrators can eat up $100,000 in a year without having really moved, quote, services, end quote, or any kind of support system that actually help someone who wants to mainstream or at least get health care.
The same $100,000 can set up a campground for 100 people for a year. Probably even less than $100,000.
Or it could secure the land so people could build a real house that's big enough for more than the usual 2 to 6. Mm-hmm. I mean, the collaborations aren't happening, and I believe one of the reasons is we keep letting people who don't quite know what they're talking about talk about the money they give to providers of some sort of service as if they're giving that money to homeless people. Mm-hmm. And I don't say this to discount the help that people get. I wouldn't be housed now if it weren't for a security grant program that's administered through the Housing Authority that several cities, including Santa Cruz, contribute money to, and it's like a revolving loan. I'd still be homeless if it weren't for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to discount the services. But the things people actually get who are the needy that the money's for is a much smaller percentage of the money you hear the electeds talking about than the infrastructure that it feeds. And these are programs that are pretty much not managed, monitored, or audited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you've had a position to know this stuff because you've been working with these for services, studying them for a number of years independently. You're the co-founder of Housing Now in Santa Cruz. We're talking to Linda LeMaster, for anyone who just tuned in.
And I build a corporation largely by myself and with a couple people that helps people that are transitioning, families with kids. And more importantly, I've tried to get help when I needed it for my kids so we're not sleeping in a car or less when we're homeless.
I even have a document with me that you and others are instrumental in putting together. It's called the Final Report and Recommendations of the Homeless Issues Task Force, Item 37 on the April 11th, 2000 agenda. How much of that report saw the light of day and actually was implemented, Linda?
Well, if by the light of day you mean did they do anything or even try to understand it, I would say very close to none. Mm-hmm. There's one recommendation we made that has come to fruition, but it wasn't because we made the recommendation. And it didn't come out quite the way we recommended it. And that is that there's a police officer who is a liaison between, quote, the homeless community, end quote, and SCPD.
Eric Seeley, recently accused of slashing tents or taking homeless property by two women that I reported on 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's an impossible job. And many of us, and all of the people who have experienced homelessness who were on that homeless issues task force, supported that if there's going to be such a liaison, the person be a civilian. Mm-hmm. That it's not quite the role for a police officer. There are community service officers who could be the eyes and ears to the police department, but a liaison between homeless people and the rest of the community needs to be a civilian.
How many hours would you estimate, Linda, that you and others spent working on this homeless issues task force set up by Christopher Crone after Catherine Byers cut off sleeping band reform at the neck?
You know, Robert, I can't do numbers off the top of my head, but I'll figure it out for you so you can have it sometime.
Yeah, I know there were 13 members on the task force, I guess, on and off, and you met at least 20 times, I would say.
Yeah, we had formal meetings a couple times a month for 8 months, and everybody was supposed to be engaged in subcommittee meetings as well as working groups.
2 hours,
but
four.
I can't do it. But, I mean, you know, that's just one
hours,
thing.
Hundreds of
right
hours.
Now, there's a continuum of care that might have some real life in it and some use. But it remains to be seen. And in my opinion, if the public doesn't find out about it and be present at a public hearing, including particularly homeless public, then it may not be a whole lot more meaningful than the ones they've written in the past, which were pretty much insider bureaucrat jobs.
Right.
I want to see it be meaningful.
Well, feel free to make announcements. My respect for the continuum of care is about on the level with my respect for the city council, but lower, in fact.
Yeah, but
it's even less of a public process.
Well, I don't know if this really is relevant to how you think or operate, but in my opinion, you know, whether we feel good or respect this or that entity needs to be set aside, and we need to focus on what we can accomplish.
Right. Well, that's the point.
I blow it sometimes.
Well, no.
The
reason that you don't go to these bodies you don't respect is because you know that you are A, wasting your own time, B, encouraging others to waste their time, and C, giving credibility to a group that really one's energy should be focused elsewhere in order to make the kinds of changes that you and I both feel need to be made. Hence, no, I disagree with you. I think if you don't respect a group. Well, of course, it depends why and what you mean by that phrase. But if you don't respect, because it's obviously a show group that people like Marty Wormhout like to put together to pretend that they're doing something about these issues when they're doing absolutely nothing in order to win the next election so they can continue for another 4 years, then I say, forgive me, fuck 'em, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I try not to. I think that, like, I call your show, or I sit through a whole city council meeting because I think there are a lot of people that need to open their eyes or become educated. And if these are housed people who are riddled with presuppositions about homeless people, and they meet me, and after they've decided what they think of me, I tell them, oh yeah, I had to raise my children in cars and church cement floors. It strikes them a different way than if they have no contact except people that are laying around on the streets who need a shower because the city can't afford to share water. You know, it rather than reinforcing the prejudice they want to have, it opens their eyes a little.
Well,
I think that's as important. The one-on-one, small group to small group, is as important as any kind of so-called organized groups that are thinking they have an objective to accomplish.
Yeah, I don't. I think that you've been doing this for years and putting a lot of energy into that, including...
Well, you do a lot on the street.
Well, let me finish. Prestigious groups like the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, like the Homeless Issues Task Force, like the Continuum of Care, and what you have to look at is what has come out of those groups as official work, as official changes, and you'll find virtually nothing has come out of those groups.
Well, I can't reduce it down to the elements.
You might be able to convince yourself that you are, you know, through your own very eloquent testimony and your own very personable contacts are having some sort of one-on-one impact, but I got to tell you, unless it manifests itself in terms of real action by those groups, to me, it is meaningless, and you are deceiving yourself and others in proceeding in this way.
I know you feel that way, and I want to say something to you along these lines. You spend hours and hours and hours actually out on the street corners tabling, petitioning. You know, my older son, he's 25, was helping you do that when he was 14. You know this town in a way few people ever get to. You talk to a lot of people. You make friends out of strangers in minutes. And I think there's a parallel here between what you're saying I'm doing and what I'm trying to describe that you do. And if you don't call them back a week or two later and make some human contact, it's nothing but a name on a piece of paper. And so I think it's the same dilemma. It's what kind of dynamic relationship comes out of the contact that gives it meaning, not what kind of paper it generates. Whether we're talking about petitions of people on the street, you know, their name on the paper isn't the important thing, although it could become important. What you tell them and what they understand from their own experiences. And the same thing goes for sitting through a County Board of Supervisors meeting until your stomach retches because everyone seems so ignorant and posturing, you know. It's not what they did or didn't do there. It's what you take away from it and what other people take away from it and what we do in our lives, not what we do in committees.
You know,
I think
you should look back to what was done in the 80s when it wasn't the wonderful things we all took away from the encounters with each other.
I didn't say wonderful.
But it was the impact of one woman or two or three, you and others, having fasts that created the first homeless shelter, the Cedar Street Cold and Rainy Night Shelter in 1985, broke the logjam of the River Street Shelter property that was acquired. It wasn't all these meaningful one-on-one contacts and these... Establishment committee meetings that happened. You know,
I know that people like Sandy Loringer went to jail because of handing a styrofoam cup to somebody that had warm soup in it. And their jail time isn't what made something change, although it got a lot of attention and got people thinking. It was the meal that grew out of the so-called illegal meals. these things, they grow like a circle. In a
the
street.
Only reason that there are legal meals is because we did illegal meals.
That's what I just said.
But that's what I'm telling you is that didn't happen because of anything that you could have talked on for hours at the continuum of care or this task force or that task force. Nothing would have happened. Nothing did happen. It's when people got out on the streets and made it happen that it happened.
I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you.
Well, that's
fine. It's very important that the people
let's
who
get out
can
on the streets and do some
streets.
Shit.
There's a corner in the street I'm going to avoid, but hopefully other people will have the stomach where I fell down.
Oh, wow,
And I'm not getting into that right now.
Oh, yes, I recall that. I will
maybe
mention
later.
I'll mention that briefly after you've left.
Okay.
So, thank you for calling in. Anything you want to conclude with?
I just think people need to hold each other up, and if you have been homeless, know that somebody can talk about your story. If you can't, you don't have to risk your freedom or... You know, some of us get warrants because we can't afford our tickets.
By the way, there's something that came up in Santa Monica this weekend a couple days ago that I haven't explored that I'm going to. It's about false arrests. And I talked to you about this because you're one of many people who have been harassed by private complaints by merchants in the downtown area. And we talked about this in an earlier show. I mentioned it. You know, there was
trying to compose a letter to the police chief about it.
It's about your arrest by Alibaba about a week and a half ago, whenever that was. You have the right to not to file a counter complaint for false arrest. I know you were concerned. You were talked out of filing a citizen's arrest for an assault.
I was totally rolled over by the officer.
By Officer Brandt. But you can still do it. There's still, it's not, I think there's a statutory time limit, but you're certainly well within it. But more important, you can also file a complaint for false arrest. If a merchant or any citizen makes an arrest of you and the police officer takes it, you can't do it if a police officer arrests you. But you can do it if the police officer takes a citizen's arrest from somebody else. You can file an immediate complaint for false arrest. That's what I learned this weekend. So that's an option that you and others should know about. And you should also look into it.
I will look into it. We need to talk about it.
This is according to activist David Bush David Bush down in Santa Monica.
That's wonderful news. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna go.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we all got to go pretty quick. We got 7 minutes left on the air here. I see lurking about the studio the infamous Jug Band Jeff, who's showed up in the studio. But first we have this phone call. You're on the radio here with Uncle Robert.
Yeah, hello, Robert. John, with the Progressive Federation and Santa Cruz Coalition for Me and All Political Prisoners.
Is that the same Progressive Federation that's having a meeting at 2 o'clock today at some obscure Capitola address?
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate how to find it, basically.
Okay.
It's at 890 38th Avenue. That's called the Oval Cliffs Mobile Home Park. And there's a clubhouse or a rec room that's kind of just a regular house-like structure that's sitting right next to the first two trailers in the park. So as you go past the sign, you'll see a green structure behind the trailers, and that's where the rec room is.
So this is at 890 38th Avenue?
Right.
And that's out on, you kind of go out to the 41st Avenue area, take the exit, go down to 38th, and it's about a half a block before Portola.
Right.
And it's on the left side as you're coming down 38th, and you'll see this 890 sign, and then there's a green structure behind it.
Actually, you see the 890 sign as you're going north. Uh-huh. 890 sign is kind of obscured going south, but I have a sign on my car parked out in front of the 925, which is...
Right illegally parked in front of 925?
No, it's legally parked.
Oh, legally, but I want to make sure so I don't have to call Officer Brandt, you know?
Yeah, there's actually, they erased the red curb there, so it's white now. So.
Cool. Well, white is right, as we used to say in Dixie, so...
And then I also wanted to reiterate that our Santa Cruz Coalition, Primo Mia, Bujamal, and all political prisoners meets every Thursday at Oaks 101, 7:30 to 9 p.m. That's at Oaks 101 on UCSC campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sharing the voicemail with Progressive Federation right now, which is 425-4467. We have announcements about not very much length of time on there. I think it only allows like 2 minutes worth of announcements, but little we can cram in there.
That's the Progressive Federation?
Yeah, and the Coalition of Freedom Union.
And the Coalition.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess there's a meeting today at 2 at, again, 890 38th Avenue in the green structure. And on Thursday you have a meeting of the Coalition to Free All Political Prisoners up at
right.
the...
And I also wanted to plug the new indymedia.org website for Santa Cruz. The complete address is http www.santacruz.indymedia.org.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually a dot in between Santa Cruz and indymedia.org. And it has some recent photos of the political prisoners marching out on the 23rd. And also it has some stuff from the Art and Revolution. They had their Black Hawk Downer protest. And pictures from that as well.
Yeah, good stuff on Black Hawk Down. For those who want more info, you could also leave a message on the Huff line at 423-HUFF. I've gotten some great stuff from Ann Simonton, who does a Tuesday show, Media Watch, 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoons, and she was part of that protest. She graciously forwarded me some information.
That's right. Also, the Indy Media is spelled with a Y. It's I-N-D-Y Media.org.
Indy Media.org is good place to find stuff on local Santa Cruz protests.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get back to your show.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you later. And that's just about it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the long Sunday edition. There is a website, however, on which HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, can be found. And to give you that, we have our webmaster, Jugband Jeff.
It's Jeff the Fiddler to you, sir.
Sorry about that.
Listen, folks, if you would like to check the HUFF website out, go to www.geocities.com/homelessunited. And if that's too long, just go ahead and send a blank email to joinhuff@yahoo.com, and you will receive an automated email reply that will tell you how to find the website and our email group.
And if that isn't clear enough, give a call to HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and we'll try to give you more elaborate instructions. We're going to go out on the music of the infamous and overplayed but still fine musician David Rovix. But first, this last call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Still there?
Still here.
Still have a couple minutes?
You have about we have about a minute for you, Danny. We're at the end of the show.
Oh. Well, am I on now?
You are on the air.
God, that's great. Listen, sorry I'm calling in so late. I was listening on the internet again.
Uh-huh.
The connection was pretty bad. I just wanted to put in another plug for the internet news group called Santa Cruz General. That's SCRUZ.GENERL. And also the news group called Alt Society Homeless, alt.society.homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And the flame wars and the discussion is absolutely incredible. You were flame this last week, Robert.
I would hope so.
What?
I would hope so.
Oh, it's just so fantastic. You know, you have property owners, you have, you know, rednecks, you have all kinds of crazy people, weirdos, you have liberals. You know, just, you know, flaming each other over homeless issues. And this is free, freewheeling as your radio program. It's absolutely fantastic.
I think it's a case of, as Scott Kennedy says of me, too much time on their hands.
Well, anyway, congratulations on another good radio show. Hope to hear it again next week.
Well, thank you, Danny, and thank you for the pictures that you took of the protest on the Mumia Political Prisoners March, which came out very well and are on the website. And if people want more information about them, you can just give a call to 423-HUFF. I'll call you back, or is there a quick way to access them?
Oh, let's see. The website is www.steps.com, /Santa-Homeless. Protest clock.
That's
That'll give you the directory.
That probably won't get too many of us. Okay. Well, listen. Thanks, Danny. You're from Palo Alto. We hope to get maybe the update from you next time. I appreciate
you. I'm not too involved in local stuff anymore, but there is a lot of stuff going on as far as theory and lawsuits, things like that. So I hope to be able to talk with you sometime about it. Yeah. So, anyway, I know you have to go.
Gotta go.
I'll talk to you later.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that's really it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides, leaving you only 30 seconds late this time, and
getting better.
You get to hear the munching and crunching of our next talk show host. Let's see what he calls his silly show. There's no program here. An interesting title. I turn it over to Skidmark Bob.
Thank you, Robert.
96.3.